Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Vernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
Praise God and hallelujah. It's good to be with the people of God. This is the best time of my day, the time of day when I get to be able to come before you and share the scriptures with you and hopefully teach you something about the Word of God. At least reveal to you that which God has revealed to me. And today, those of you who have your Bibles, and I hope by this time all of you have them, I hope you realize that our only textbook, our only study book is the Word of God. And I would like you to open your Bible to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 47. A prophet of God that, as far as I'm concerned, had to go through one of the toughest ministries I've ever heard of. You know, so many people read the Word of God and they read it, like it's some kind of a fairy tale or some kind of a book that never really happened. But this really took place. These are real people. They lived this way. These things really happened to them. Now, you look at Jonah, for example, being swallowed by a big fish. And by the way, it doesn't say a whale. It says a big fish. I don't know what kind of fish it was. But swallowed by a big fish and to be in the belly of that fish for 3 days and live through it. Now, I just can't imagine. I've tried to think about this, what it would be like to be in the belly of a fish. I mean, my Lord, the smell alone must be enough to kill you. And I don't know how you'd breathe down there. You'd probably have to stand or swim. I doubt if there's any chairs or tables to sit on. But anyway, he's in there 3 days. And then all of a sudden, the fish swims up on shore and vomits him out, just spits him out. Now, you got to picture this. There's a lot of fishermen standing up there on the shore, mending their nets, getting their boats ready, and doing all the work that a fisherman does. And all of a sudden, this huge, huge fish comes up on shore and vomits a guy out. Here comes a guy whose clothes are half eaten away by the stomach acids in the fish's stomach. He's got seaweed wrapped around his neck and wrapped around his head. Comes out of there, and he's gasping for air, and he says, I got a message from God for you people. Now, you know that's good staging. God knows how to set it up. That's good staging. I don't know about you, but me, I'd have listened. And irregardless of what he said, I'd have done it. Think about that. A whale brings him up. And then when you look at the book of Ezekiel, the one thing Ezekiel has in life that he dearly loves, that he dearly cares for other than God, is his wife. Dearly loves his wife. And there comes a time in Ezekiel's ministry when God says, and it's like, by the way, I'm going to take your wife tomorrow. Just like, by the way, it's going to be partly cloudy tomorrow. And he tells him, I don't want you to shed a tear or even look sad. Think about that for a minute. The one thing he's got in life that he cherishes, that he loves beyond anything save God, the Lord says, I'm going to take her. And I don't want you to cry or even shed a tear because this will be an example unto Israel. Now, this man had to have some sort of supernatural anointing upon him all the time because nobody could live that way unless they did. And to tell you the truth, not that I, God forbid, that I would ever want that to happen. I would never want that to happen to me. But I would like to have the anointing that Ezekiel had. I would like to have that type of the power of the Holy Spirit upon me that I could obey God under any and all circumstances, irregardless of what it was. Here is a powerful man of God. Last night and this morning as I was reading this, the Lord just brought this to mind. And I want to start in Ezekiel and chapter 47. Chapter 47. And if, by the way, if you miss any of these scriptures, You can send us an email or a letter. We'll gladly send you out a tape of the program. We'll send you out the information you need on the scriptures, whatever it was. We don't charge you anything. Everything we have is free. And we're not going to put you on a mailing list because we don't have one. And we're not going to send any letters to you trying to sell you any little Jesus trinkets or asking you for money. We don't do that. So you don't need to worry about it. We'll just send you what you ask for and you'll never hear from us again. But in chapter 47 of the book of Ezekiel, the angel of the Lord, or Jesus himself, takes Ezekiel and he takes him down to the temple of the Lord. Now this is something that I have heard from God day in and day out for at least the past 2 years. Not a day goes by that God doesn't speak this to me in one way or the other. And let me begin in verse 1. The word of the Lord says, "And afterward he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the east part of the house. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house," or the temple, "at the south side of the altar. The waters came from the altar, and they ran down underneath, and they came out underneath the east side of the temple. And then brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and he led me about the way without into the outer gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right-hand side." Now what it's saying here is at literally at every foot of this river, it's getting a little bit deeper. A little bit deeper all the time. "And the man that had the line in his hand went eastward, and he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the water, and the waters were up to my ankles." Now right here I want to state, this is as far as the greatest majority of Christians will ever get. 99% of the Christians in the world today, this is the Holy Spirit, the river of the Holy Spirit is what God is speaking about here. It's what he's alluding to. And 99% of the Christians worldwide today will get no further than their ankles. And I'll share why with you in a moment. But in verse 4, "Again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were up to my knees. And again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and they were up to my loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, and now it was no longer a river that I could pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, to be immersed in a river that could not be passed over. You had to be immersed in it. You had to be baptized in it. You had to go under it. You had to be literally covered and filled on all sides by this water. What God is talking about is the river of the Holy Spirit, which issues forth from the temple of God. Let me go back, if I may, to verse 4. Where the Lord, let's go back to verse 3. Where the Lord first brought him out and the water was up to his ankles. And that, as I said, is as far as most Christians get, and I'll tell you why. Because when they get to their ankles, that's all they want. Ankle deep water in the Holy Spirit is water deep enough to maybe be able to prophesy in church, to be able to speak in tongues, and maybe once in a great, great while have a vision. And that's all the church wants. In fact, they're scared to death to go any further. Because if they go any further, God may ask them to do something they don't want to do. I'll tell you, the two number one gods that we have, especially in the United States, but believe me, it's all over the world. But especially in the United States, we have two gods that are more important to us than the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. Two of them. One of them is parked in our driveway. It's our car. And if you think that's not become your God, wait until someday when God tells you to give it away. You'll see how much of a God it has become. God can touch anything. He can have anything. I'll lay my body upon the altar as a living sacrifice, but not my car. Lord, no, not my car. No, not if I had 10 of them. Not my car. And the other is that extremely ugly black thing you have in the living room, the television. That has become the God of most Christians. Whatever you turn to in your hour of need, that's your God. I'm not talking about watching a Christian TV show such as this. What I am talking about is spending hundreds, and I do mean hundreds, hundreds of hours in front of that thing, watching the football games, the hockey games, the basketball games, soccer. Unbelievable. How many, you ever notice when the sports games are on? Tell me this is an accident. They schedule every single sports spectacular for a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. Do you think that's an accident? At the exact time that God would have you to be in church hearing His word, that God desires to speak to you, that God desires to cause you to grow, that God desires to fill you with His Holy Spirit, you're home watching football or whatever's in season. And believe me, something is always in season. I have seen houses with 3 and 4 satellites up on them, big satellites. To make, and I've talked to some of them, why do you have so many satellites? And it's to make sure that they can always get some sports that are in season. And they will stand up and go nuts and scream and yell and dance all over the room when Buffalo gets a touchdown. But Jesus can move in the ranks of the church on Sunday morning and heal somebody that's been sick for 20 years or open the eyes of the blind. Do you know they will sit there and not make a sound, not make a word? They're ashamed, literally, of Jesus and His words and His power. They want religion. They want quiet, reverent religion. I was raised in a church. Now, I won't tell you the name of the church. I didn't go to church very often. Maybe once or twice a year, my parents would drag me off to church. Mother and sober up long enough to take me. But I was raised in this church, and when you went in, you had to kneel down at the opening there, and then when you got up to where you were going to sit, you had to kneel down again, and you had to be real quiet getting into your seat there. And then they had a little steel box up on the altar. I never did figure out what the button was for it, but they had some little magic button they pushed, and this little steel box opened up, and they reached in there and got out these little cookies that they passed around with a wine glass. And I asked my mother one time, I said, is that supposed to be God living in that little box? And she said, well, yeah, that's where God lives, in that little box up there on the altar. I wasn't very bright, but I knew I didn't really need a God that could fit into a box this big. And I said, why are we always so quiet around here? Why are we always kneeling, bowing, and, you know, pussyfooting around? Because we don't want to wake up God. Now, again, I wasn't the brightest student in catechism class there, but I figured out that I really didn't have a need for a sleeping God. If a God was going to watch over me and protect me, He's at least going to have to be awake. I want Him to be awake, knowing where I'm going, where I'm at, and what kind of trouble I'm in. And that God didn't do me any good because He was sleeping. And I got tired of being quiet around that church. So I went out to find me a God that was alive and awake and doing something that I could see. He was moving. I wanted to see him moving. I wanted to feel him moving. I didn't want to spend all my time genuflecting. I wanted to spend my time feeling the presence of God. And I went out and found that church. It's called the Invisible Church of God. And basically that means those who are called out by the Lord, who are separated, who are set apart by the Lord. But anyway, most people will not go any further into to the river of the Holy Spirit than their ankles. But now, right now, today, for a while, in the weeks to come and in days to come, my son is going to be doing a few of the television spots for us, as my wife and I will be going on a crusade. But I can tell you right now, irregardless of what takes place at that crusade, irregardless of what scriptures we read from, irregardless of what the message is, irregardless of what problems the people in the prayer line have, God will fulfill those needs. He'll meet the needs. He does it every time. He'll do the miracles. Well, I'm on, and if anybody would like a schedule of where we're going to be, where we'll be appearing, etc., you're more than welcome to, again, write us a letter, email, phone call, whatever, and we'll be glad to tell you. But one thing I guarantee you, that the majority of people that will come up, and I mean the majority of people that will come up, men and women, God will give me a word for those people, and that word will always be the same. And it will be my son or my daughter, whatever the case may be. In this hour, I have spoken unto thee, and you know it. I've called you, I've appeared to you at night, I've spoken unto you, or I've prophesied to you through somebody else. And I have told you that I have anointed you, and I have sealed you, and I have sent you forth, that you would bring my word unto the nations, for the harvest is ripe. And I've never had anybody deny it. Yes, that's true. God has spoken to me. The Lord has appeared to me in my bedroom. God has had this prophesied to me 5 or 6 times, whatever the case may be. But I want you to see the hour. We're no longer looking for the last days. We're looking at the last days. We're here. This is the last days. We're going now to the highways and the byways, and we're inviting in both the good and the bad into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus has paid the price. And we're to go forth and to tell people that, to tell them it's over with. As Jesus said, it is finished. When Jesus was on that cross and he looked down, he wasn't paying any attention to those few guards that were gambling for his clothing. And by the way, just for some of you, when Jesus hung on the cross, you don't seem to realize this because you've seen too many movies. Jesus was not wearing that diaper. He was stark naked as he hung between heaven and earth. He was stark naked. And he hung there stark naked to pay for our shame and for our sexual immorality and our sexual perversion. He paid for all of that. Imagine what God had to go through to pay the price for our sins. But now he's saying, I want you, as he said to the disciples, to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. He's saying, now I want you to go through the river of the Holy Spirit, and you don't have to worry, because Jesus will lead you through that river. But just as you are baptized, as you are totally immersed, as you are put under the water, as you come up a new creation, the Father says, I want you to go all the way. I want you to go all the way out into the river. I want you to go to your knees. And then I want you to go to your loins. And then I want you to go to your chest. And then I want you to go right underneath that water. Because that water represents the Holy Spirit. The only thing that can change you from the inside. Don't go out and picket against the people that are having abortions. It won't do any good. Rather, go out and preach this gospel which changes them from the inside out. That's the only cure. You don't change a person from the outside in. You don't legislate morality. But rather you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That and that alone is what changes men and women. The gospel. And that's what we should be doing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Unfortunately, that's what we're not doing. I read an article the other day that was put out by one of these so-called charismatic magazines. And I cut it out and I saved it because they said, no longer is an evangelist or a preacher of the word supposed to be out on some sweating sawdust trail, but rather now it is a career, not a calling, it's a career now. Did you know that? Now it's a career, and you should have the perks and the sick days and the retirement and all of the rest of it. I got a newsflash for you. It's still a calling of God. It's not a career. If God hasn't called you to stay home, work, support your family, and help somebody, He has called. But if He's called you, forget about your plans for the future. Forget about when you were going to send the kids to college, when you were going to pay off the mortgage, but obey God. And what does the Lord say? And all these other things shall be given unto you. And if you look that up, you'll find that means that once you seek the expansion of heaven, the kingdom of God, the expansion, all these other things will be given unto you. God knows what you have in need of. He'll take care of it. You don't have to worry. God is faithful. He wants you to go into the fullness of this river, that you will have the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, ask some of you people today, some of you that are watching me today, right now out there in television land, as you read the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, God is going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. And He's going to tell you, my son, my daughter, how long must I lay it upon your heart that the harvest fields are ripe? How long must I speak it to you before you will go? Why will you get on a plane with a pilot you don't know? Never met in your life, never heard of, and trust your life and the life of your loved ones to them, but you won't trust Jesus Christ to pay off the mortgage on your house? Maybe you won't. Maybe that's not the house you're supposed to have. Maybe God wants you to live someplace else. But many of you that are watching me today, as you read this, God is going to speak to you. And I implore you to listen to what God says for this reason. Because of the time constraints placed on me by television, I don't have a lot of choice. Sometimes I have to skip over a lot of scriptures. And there's about an hour sermon on every one of these scriptures. They're so powerful, I would love to have the time to go into them, to share them with you. But due to the constraints of the time, I'm going to jump down. We're still in chapter 47. And if you would, jump down to verse 11. Down to verse 11. Now, God's still speaking about the same thing. He's speaking about the river of the Holy Spirit flowing forth from the altar of God, flowing out of the temple. But He says, in the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof, There shall nothing be healed. There shall be no healing, because there shall be no presence of God. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on the other side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to its months, because their waters have issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Now, if you're going to hold on to your car, you're going to hold on to the money you got in the bank for your daughter or your son's graduation, whatever big plans it is that you have, let me tell you where you're going to wind up. You're going to wind up on the marshes outside of where the power of that river flows. You're going to wind up outside where the power is no longer in the water, but rather it has been given over to the salt of the world. And what did Jesus say happens when the salt gets mixed in? It's trampled down and it's trotted under. And it's useless, it's no good for anything. I don't think you want to be in that place when you stand in judgment and look into the eyes of the living and almighty God. When you look into the eyes of fire of Jesus Christ, you want to say, yes, Lord, I heard you. Yes, Lord, I went and I did what you told me to do. And I brought your word unto the entire world, every place that you sent me. I went to the deserts, and I went to the other lands, I went wherever you sent me. And you're going to hear something then that for all eternity will make you the happiest person there is. Because Jesus will look down at you and he will say, well done, thou faithful and good servant. Enter thou into the rest of the Lord. Now, even those that got hired in the last minutes of time will get the same reward as those who started 30, 40, 50 years ago. We'll all get the same reward for obedience unto God. Please, tonight, as you hear from God, please, set everything else aside. Obey the Lord.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time to the Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.